You're listening to Radio Lab.
Radio Lab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yeah.
And NPR.
Oops can be a misleading term. Really what we're talking about here is something Greek.
Well, you try hard to prevent one thing and then you get exactly what you didn't want to get back at you.
Right. And our first story falls into that category. Back a few seasons ago, we were doing a show on deception. And we ended up talking with a professor named Ruben Gur.
Hello?
Hi, is this Professor Gur?
Yes, speaking.
He's a psychiatrist who works at the University of Pennsylvania. And I'd called him to talk about his research on self-deception. It's fascinating stuff, and I'm not going to go into it now because somewhere along the way, the conversation took a really weird turn.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it happened when he began to tell me about some studies.
Strange studies.
Done by a, what was the guy's name?
His name is hanging on, I don't remember, in a second. Murray was his name.
Henry Murray.
And the reason we want to hear about Henry Murray is what?
What? I built it up. Don't you want to know more?
Not yet, no. Well, tell me more.
Okay, I'm going to let it unfold because we were so interested in what Ruben Gur told us that we found a guy.
Hey.
Who knows a whole lot about Professor Murray's name is Alston Chase.
Very windy day today, isn't it?
And he lives in a remote cabin in Montana.
In the woods?
In the foothills.
Okay.
Professor Murray was a very prestigious scholar. He had been a professor of psychology at Harvard before the Second World War. During the war, he went to work for the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which was the forerunner of the CIA.
And a couple of years into his government service, says Alston, something happened that really spooked him and spooked the country.
During the Korean War,
there were some GIs, he said, who'd been captured in Korea. And afterwards,
after the Korean War,
they refused to come home.
They appeared to have betrayed their country.
Renounced their own country and disappeared behind Red China's bamboo curtain.
Does anybody want to go home?
No!
The CIA and their military establishment was very much concerned that the communists had found techniques for brainwashing.
And so Murray and other psychiatrists in the government were charged with preparing those soldiers to resist that kind of brainwashing. And Murray himself developed a style of interrogation.
Stressful interrogation was the term used.
That the Army could use on its pilots.
Yeah. He developed this method of kidnapping them before they were sent on the mission.
And then, says Ruben Gur, he'd run them through a battery of tests.
To see if they break. And if they didn't break, then they were fine to fly.
This kind of psychological training was kind of a new front in the Cold War. And in the 1950s, Murray's back at Harvard, and he's thinking of ways to fine-tune his techniques. And this is where things get interesting.
He took a class of Harvard undergraduates, 20-some-odd.
Sophomores, mostly.
The students were told to write an autobiographical essay.
Like a diary. And he told them, you know what?
Make it very personal.
Write your deepest thoughts in there.
Highest aspirations and hopes.
And while you're at it, write about your sexual fantasies. Go ahead.
Quite a class.
And after the students were done, he said to them, now I'm going to pair you up into groups of two.
To debate or discuss what they'd written.
The students were like, okay, we'll share. No big deal. But
they were duped. They were walked into this very brightly lit room,
which turned out to be an interrogation room with a one-way mirror.
Put in a chair, strapped in. Electrodes were attached to their arms, chest, their heart.
To measure stress, basically.
And they were also filming through the mirror.
And then, instead of a classmate, in walked a total stranger.
Older man.
This guy was holding their essay. They didn't know it, but Murray had trained him.
To do everything he could to anger and humiliate the undergraduate.
And he just tore them apart, piece by piece.
Using the essay to mock the students' aspirations and thoughts. Then, after this was done, the students have to come back week after week to view themselves on film, being humiliated.
That, to me, seems like the worst part. After they'd been humiliated, they had to watch themselves being humiliated over and over.
People became tearful and miserable, and he was proud how he destroyed people.
What kind of a person is this?
Like, why did he do it?
Yeah.
Why Murray did it? there are any one of a number of explanations, and they all could be true. One is it was a grant grabbing. He was getting money to do these things.
Also, you know, this was the Cold War. He was fighting communism. He may have thought it was justified.
Yeah, but he just said he was proud of this.
Well, it also happens to be the case that he was having an affair.
For about 30 years with a woman, not his wife, and they had a sexual relationship that bordered on the sadomasochistic, in fact, was sadomasochistic. In other words, Murray's interest in these was intensely personal.
Whatever the case, in those Harvard experiments, there was one student who was just not prepared for any of it.
His code name was Lawful.
Lawful. They gave each of these students a code name.
Because he was considered so conventional.
He was
really still just a boy.
Graduated high school at 16.
Was living 1,000 miles from home, 2 shirts and 2 trousers to his name.
And Lawful apparently was an especially lonely kid.
The notes I found of Murray did refer specifically to Lawful's essay, which he saw as highly alienated.
So when Lawful walked into that room, sat across from that stranger,
the guy really did a job on him. He was young, so he was barely growing a beard. So the first thing that the guy tells him is, what is this on your chin? Something trying to look like a beard?
Then the guy opens up Lawful's essay and lets him have it. Meanwhile, like all the students, Lawful had been hooked up to all these stress monitors.
I analyzed his data compared to all the other participants. He had far and away the strongest response physiologically.
You mean like his heartbeat the fastest
heartbeat,
and all that?
Heartbeat, everything, through the roof.
Amazingly, this experiment went on for 3 years. And decades later, a lot of the subjects were still upset.
And considered it one of the most traumatic experiences they'd had in their 20s.
Lawful never forgot it.
That's right. He was resentful at the way he was treated at Harvard. He had nightmares about Professor Murray after he left Harvard.
So what happened to this guy?
Well, he finished up his 4 years at Harvard, got his degree, then got a PhD in math. Then he began to teach math. And then he became a household name.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean this.
The FBI raid began just after noon in a remote mountainous area called Stemple Pass, about 5 miles outside the town of Lincoln, Montana.
Turns out that Lawful's real name?
Theodore Kaczynski.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Kaczynski was known.
Get out.
Yeah.
The FBI dubbed him the Unabomber. In nearly 18 years, he found targets all over the country.
His meticulously made bombs have killed 3 people and injured another 23.
Blew my arm off to the side like this. And the first thing I thought was, why did they do that?
Do you think that this study had anything to do with Ted Kaczynski's subsequent very infamous acts?
Well, I think he probably would have, if it hadn't been for that experiment, he still probably would have been maybe reclusive, living somewhere in a cabin in Montana, regardless. But I think the evil twist was done there.
Years later, while he was researching a book, Alston Chase corresponded with Kaczynski.
In one of his letters, he mentioned that he participated in some psychological experiments conducted by Professor Murray. Of course, I was very curious, and I wrote it back to tell me a little bit more about it, and he said, well, you really don't... I don't know if you want to go into that can of worms.
Reuben Gore is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania, and Alston Chase is the author of the book Harvard and the Making of the Unabomber.
Oops, my heart went oops.